Today's podcast is brought to you by Visa, who wants to know, where would you like to be? Whether you're a super fan getting ready for game day or a food truck owner feeding hungry fans, Visa wants to help you pursue your passion with a simple and unwavering vision to be the best way to pay and be paid for everyone everywhere. They know that every Visa transaction is a promise, and they want to provide you with the most secure and easy payment experience possible. That's why they're continuing to make innovations, from tapping to pay to pushing money directly to your debit card so you can get to where you would like to be. Visa. Everywhere you want to be.
All right, the Titans will be in Baltimore to face the Ravens tomorrow night. Lamar Jackson has put together quite a sophomore season, but despite his MVP numbers, he says last year's playoff loss continues to motivate him this year. Well, now he gets ready to face a red-hot Tennessee team coming off that big win over the Patriots. Nick, will Lamar's MVP magic continue against the Titans this weekend?
Well, that, Jenna Wolf, is the question that will determine the entire NFL playoffs. Will Lamar continue to be the player in the postseason he was in the regular season? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to congratulate the Baltimore Ravens on their third Super Bowl championship since they've come back to, since they went to Baltimore, because then no one's going to beat them. If Lamar is the same guy in the postseason, then you can't beat this team right now. Since week six, they have a top two defense in football. Over the course of the year, they have a top five defense in football. The Marcus Peters trade energized them. Earl Thomas took him a few weeks to kind of get his sea legs beneath him, being with the new franchise for the first time in his career, and now he's back to being Earl Bleeping Thomas. Mark Ingram's dealing with an injury, but he returned to practice. That if the Ravens continue to do in the postseason through Lamar what they did in the regular season, then you have no viable path to victory. Now, what do I think will happen? I think Lamar will be good in the playoffs. I do not think he will be the MVP of the playoffs. I think that you will have a number of factors. One is his lack of playoff experience. Another is the ability for teams to drill down specifically. The Titans have known if we beat the Patriots, they knew they were playing Baltimore no matter what, because they're the sixth seed. It's the only round two game they could play. I guarantee you, you've had coaches on that staff since week 17 preparing for Baltimore, preparing to deal with this very unique offensive scheme, what Greg Roman's doing with Lamar. And I would imagine what they are going to do is say, we will tip our cap to you if your receivers beat us, but we are going to put all of our attention on the middle third of the field. We're going to put all our attention on your running game and on your tight ends. And if Willie Snead and Hollywood Brown have huge games, which simultaneously they haven't had huge games all year long, then we're going to lose. But that the question will be, if that is what they give you, can Lamar make those throws consistently? We know he has the ability to. It's no longer a question, does he have the ability to throw the ball down the field? How effective will he be in the biggest game of his career this weekend, and then one even bigger if they win it the following weekend against Kansas City?
Listen, we see this one the same way. I think the Tennessee Titans have to try to force Lamar Jackson to throw the ball down the field and outside of the numbers. I think that's the only way you have a fighting chance in this matchup. You talked about the Tennessee Titans knowing what's coming. You can know what's coming and still catch a beatdown.
Yep.
I mean, boxers knew what was coming with Mike Tyson in his prime in the late 80s and early 90s. There was nothing they can do about it. They were going to get knocked out inside of three rounds. The Baltimore Ravens have that same bully type of mentality, especially when it comes to their offense being able to run the football. What I'm interested to see is how Mike Vrabel is going to match up with his personnel. Is he going to go out there with base defense, or is he going to go out there with nickel? Because if you go out with base, you're going to have trouble keeping up with the speed of Lamar Jackson and those running backs in the run game. If you go out there in nickel, yeah, that makes you faster overall on defense, but are you going to be able to hold up with the physicality at the point of attack? That's when the tight ends and the Ravens offense come into play, because you have Mark Andrews, you have Nick Boyle, and you got Hayden Hurst. And all of those guys, as much as we talk about them being great receivers, they're all really good inline blockers, and you can create some interesting formations for defenses to go up against. So right. It'll be be interesting how Mike Vrabel sees it and what he thinks gives him the best chance to slow that rushing attack down.
Chris, so much of this game is going to come down to, like Nick said, how Lamar shows up this weekend. Here's a guy who is a young player still, coming off a tough loss last season, having an insane season this year. As a player, what's the week like for him? How do you quiet all that noise and prepare for arguably the biggest game of your entire career?
Well, here's the thing. I think him having that experience in his rookie year is going to pay dividends now.
Even though it was a negative experience?
Even though it was a negative experience, okay. Because he actually got to feel it, the intensity, the overall speed of the game in the playoffs. It all ratchets up a notch because it's win or go home. So having that understanding and knowing what those emotions are going to feel like when you come out there, I think there's nothing that can prepare you for it unless you've actually been out there and you've done it. And so I think it's a tremendous advantage for the Ravens to have him have that experience in his rookie year, because now I just feel like the group around him is tailor-made to fit his skill set, and he's in a position now because of the experience and because of the confidence that he's gained from his regular season performance that you can go out there and get the best version of Lamar Jackson.
And the other question is going to be about rust. Lamar's played two games since December 13th. Okay, so he's played one. The team's played two games since December 13th because they played on a Thursday, and that Lamar's only played one of those games because he rested in Week 17. So you have, and you also have an element at the end of the year after that San Francisco Buffalo stretch. It was Jets, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Then you rest everyone in Week 17 against Pittsburgh. Then you have a bye.
Then you have the bye.
And so it's been a long time for Baltimore since they played a playoff-level team. Now, throughout the year, aside from Kansas City, they whooped every playoff-level team they played, and they beat every playoff-level team they played, with really only San Francisco giving them a real close game. They annihilated Houston. They annihilated New England. But I do wonder how much rust will be a factor. Because Tennessee's only way to win is to jump out on them early. If Tennessee falls down 10-0, you can turn the game off. I wouldn't, but you can turn. Tennessee cannot come from behind in this football game. So they have to hope that Lamar and that offense is a little rusty, that they do take a little bit to get in sync. That's the only chance they got in this game.
It's such a good point, because it's Tennessee who's actually coming off the momentum in this matchup. We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has now teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, so you have less stress, so you perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. And if you head to calm.com/sports40, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/sports40. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/sports40. That's calm.com/sports40. All right, for the first time in years, Tom Brady will be making non-football related plans in early January. A rare early exit means that Brady's got some decisions to make on where he'll play next season. Former NFL scout Bucky Brooks said it's time for the Patriots to, quote, close the books on the Brady era. What do you think, Nick? Is he right?
Well, I mean, I think the time for them to close the books on the Brady era, if everyone could go do it over again, would be after last year's Super Bowl. They could have done this a year early. Now, obviously, you can't tell your guy that just won a sixth Super Bowl and the game before the Super Bowl, let a fourth quarter come back on the road. Your service no longer needed here. So I understand why they didn't do that. But yeah, of course, Bucky Brooks is right. The Patriots, with or without Tom Brady, are not going to be a championship-level team next season. You can't, whether you agree with me that Brady is on the severe downtick or with the people that disagree with that and just say it's all the pieces around him, Either way, that's not fixed in one offseason. The Patriots traded their second-round pick for a receiver. They don't have – they have an aging roster with a lot of pending free agents. You know they don't overpay in free agency. They're not all of a sudden going to do a huge departure of what they've done in years past, which is, win now, we're going to sign guys to bad contracts. So whether it's because Brady is done or the roster stinks, you can't fix – you certainly can't fix the first, and it's not Patriots style to try to fix the second to microwave it. So either way, you're not contending for a Super Bowl in 2020. So what puts you in the best position to compete for a Super Bowl in 21 or 22 or 23? To start the next era of Patriot football as soon as possible. It's a harsh decision. It's a tough decision. But it's the type of decision Canty Belichick has always made. We always say he wants to be a year early rather than a year late. Well, he can't be a year early anymore. Mm-hmm. But he certainly can be a year or two late if he relents to the pressure from above that I think there will be from Robert Kraft to give a quarterback that after week three, was a bottom six in all statistical categories quarterback in this league, $25 to $30 million a year starting next season, which is reportedly what Tom Brady's going to be asking for.
Well, we know there's going to be pressure from above because if Bill Belichick had his way, then Jimmy Garoppolo wouldn't be playing for the 49ers. Yep. He'd be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, and that Tom Brady chapter of Patriots football would already be closed. But, I mean, Tom Brady at this stage, he wants to be respected, which is why I think he has that clause in his current contract that doesn't allow the Patriots to franchise him. The way you show a player that you respect his ability is how you pay him. And Tom Brady, for the better part of this decade, has been on an under-market deal at his position. So at this stage, it's about trying to get what he deserves. But I don't think Bill Belichick is in a hurry to pay Tom Brady market value, especially the way that offense looks this past year. Now, you mentioned all of the potential losses that they have or the decline in personnel at the skill positions. You also got to consider potentially losing Josh McDaniels, who's been Tom Brady's coordinator for all but two of his years in New England. So I think that could be potentially a big loss if he decides to take over the job with the Cleveland Browns. So for all of those different reasons, it seems like it would point to Tom Brady being out the door. But I don't know who the Patriots' alternative is at the quarterback position. Who's going to be the successor for Tom Brady? Is it going to be Jarrett Stidham? I mean,
probably
he sure
not.
Didn't look ready when he played in spot duty in the regular season. So that's my only question about Tom Brady and whether or not the Patriots are going to run it back with him. Who's going to be his replacement? I mean, you do have some young quarterbacks that will be on the free agent market. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Ryan Tannehill, Teddy Bridgewater. We'll see if Bill Belichick is infatuated with any of them. But ultimately, I think Tom Brady is the guy that probably gives you the best chance to compete to win the division next year. But I think the Patriots do have to address the quarterback position in a real way this offseason. I just don't think it'll mean that Tom Brady is out the door.
Quickly, one of the things we haven't really been talking about is how tied in Tom Brady is to Josh McDaniels and how if Josh stays, does that help Tom Brady maybe come back? It's hard to, after 20 years, to go to a new team, a new offense, new personnel, new everything. Well, you wonder how close the two of them
are. So I think it's a really good point, and I actually talked to Joe Theismann about this recently, and Joe said, you think Brady wants to spend his offseason learning a new system,
right,
learning new personnel, learning these new things? He's like, no, he wants to go on vacation. He wants to spend time with his family. But if Josh McDaniels leaves, you're learning a new-ish system either way. You're learning, I'm sure they will implement a lot of the same things, and Brady's not going to follow him to Cleveland, obviously. Now, if the Chargers were to force out Anthony Lynn in order to get a Brady McDaniels package deal, and by the way, I bet they would do that, even though I think Anthony Lynn's a good coach, I do think Josh McDaniels leaving weighs more on the side of Brady also saying, I want to leave myself. But the point you make, Canty, is a good one, and it's one that I hear all the time, which is, who is his replacement? This is not a Montana to Young, a Favre to Rodgers, a Manning to Luck situation. And I agree with that 1,000%. And I don't know who his replacement is. What I do know is, when the Patriots declined to give him a contract extension, they knew who was on their roster. They knew it was Jarrett Stidham and nobody else. They also knew who the pending free agents were. When they could have made this a non-issue a year ago, Bill Belichick, looking at his roster and looking at the pending free agent crop, said, I don't want to give you a contract extension. So why would that have changed? Why would his feeling on that have changed when Brady just played the worst year of his career and the team, success-wise, had the worst year it's had in a decade? It's not like all of a sudden, when they wouldn't give him a contract extension, they had Jimmy G. They traded him a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. It's not like they thought, we have this great young quarterback, but he blew out his knee in week 9. Now he might not be ready to start the season. They knew what time it was when they refused to give Brady a contract extension in August. So I don't know how much that affects their decisions this upcoming March or April.
Back here, first things first, now joined by Super Bowl champ Greg Jennings.
What up, man?
What's happening?
G Money.
What's going on?
Lots to get to this morning, Greg. Aaron Rodgers, he was your teammate for 7 seasons. You helped him pad his resume to the tune of 2 regular season MVPs and a Super Bowl 45 MVP. But the Packers have missed the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. And Aaron's numbers have been down during that stretch, so no one wants to raise another Lombardi trophy this year more than the Green Bay quarterback himself. Take a listen.
It's on my mind every day. I mean, that's why we play the game. That's why you put in the time in the offseason. That's why you do little things. It's to put yourself in this position where we're 2 games away from being able to compete for that. So, I mean, I'm 36. I know what this is all about. This is an important opportunity for us. I feel like I got a lot of really good years left, but you never know. A lot of things happen year to year. You know, we've had some great teams that, you know, have been an injury away or, you know, play away from being special. So I want to make the most of this opportunity.
Aaron Rodgers went in to say, I know I'm much closer to the end than I am to the beginning of my career. I do get how important this is at this
36
age.
Years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nick, what would a second Lombardi trophy do for Aaron Rodgers' legacy?
Oh, well, that's the only thing missing from, and you might say we move the goalpost. Like, he gets one, now what's missing is 2. Well, to get in the discussion that his talent rightfully should place him in, which is the greatest quarterback ever, not named Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, he's 1 championship away from being in that discussion. I'm not saying he'll be at the top of the discussion, but he's in the room. Mm-hmm. Brady right now is in a room by himself. I imagine some nice scotch, maybe some cigars. He's in the room by himself, and he's going to be in that room by himself forever.
Yes.
Nobody's ever going to be able to join him. But there's another room. Joe Montana's in it. Peyton Manning's in it. I have John Elway in it. That, and just, you know, guys in the last 50 years. And those are the only guys there. Brett Favre is in a room down the hall with Aaron and with Drew Brees and with Dan Marino. These are all nice rooms, but you'd like to get to that next one. And to me, those to me, the 8 best quarterbacks since the merger with respect to Bradshaw and Staubach, Troy Aikman, Steve Young, that's your pyramid. Rodgers jumps a level. Rodgers and the conversation some people were trying to have a month ago, is Drew Brees actually better than Peyton Manning, which is a conversation no one actually ever had while they were playing.
No.
If Rodgers wins another Super Bowl, I'll have that conversation. Manning's got 2 of them, but Manning got his 2nd one when it was not the prime of his career, led by the defense. I know Manning's got the 5 regular season MVPs. Yes. Rodgers, though, has the 2nd most with 3. And Rodgers, unlike Manning, his play is at this level in the regular season and at this level in the postseason. Peyton's play was at this level in the regular season, a tick above Rodgers, but about here in the postseason. So, yeah, he is three games away, a championship away from at least having a credible argument. In the last 50 years, I'm the 2nd best to ever do this. In the modern era, I'm the 2nd best to ever do this. I can make the case for that. That's what a 2nd championship would do for Aaron Rodgers, and it would prove he can win one without Greg Jennings, which I need to see happen.
I love it. I love it. It would do wonders for his legacy. When you look at what we talk about, what would hurt his legacy, it's the lack of rings. Mm-hmm. It's the lack of Super Bowl appearances. Yep. Forget winning it. It's just not even getting there with his skill set and with the roster that they've had. Now, we understand what they haven't had, but we've always looked at him to be the X factor and more than enough to get back there at least. And so going into the mindset of an Aaron Rodgers, a guy who always has had a chip on his shoulder, he's always playing with this what if, or what did you say, or what can I pluck out of the media or the press clippings that will drive me even more, so when it does happen and when I do make you look bad, I'm going to kind of jab at you a little bit. This would do that with all the opportunities that the Green Bay Packers have had that he feels, and I was there for some of them, that we let slip away. And that window does not open too often. You know it. Mm-hmm. It does not. And when it does open, it doesn't open all the way. And so he sees an opportunity where he gets it. He says it. I think about it all the time because he's experienced not getting there and being so close and having the disappointment and the letdown of, man, I almost did it. And how great would it feel for him? And I get it. He can say his relationship with Mike McCarthy is great and it is probably good, I'm sure, but he would love nothing more than to get to a Super Bowl appearance and win one without Mike McCarthy.
The first year McCarthy's gone.
The first year he's gone, that would be something that you couldn't write up. And he would salivate at that opportunity.
Well, here's the thing. When you look at Aaron Rodgers, we're talking about one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks the game has ever seen. I mean, everybody's just trying to figure out, why has Aaron Rodgers only had one game in the Super Bowl? Why hadn't he made it to conference championships and Super Bowls more often, being that talented? I think a lot of it has to do with the organization not surrounding him with the requisite talent that it takes to compete at that level. I think that's why Green Bay moved off of Ted Thompson as their GM a couple of years ago, because they recognized that they got to try to take advantage of Aaron Rodgers in the twilight of his career. And for the better part of his prime, they haven't been aggressive in terms of being able to surround him with top-tier talent. They didn't go out in free agency and spend a whole lot of money. This was one of the first off-seasons that they were active. And Brian Gutekunst, their GM, he went out and he signed the Smith brothers because he realized that I can't ask Aaron Rodgers to win a 35-31 shootout every single week, but especially in the playoffs. So the fact that this team can play a couple of different games and still be able to have success, I think it bodes well for him. But back to the conversation, where does this place Aaron Rodgers if he's able to win another Super Bowl? I think it puts him on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. When you consider that there ain't a lot of quarterbacks that have multiple Super Bowl rings and multiple Super Bowl MVPs, I think Aaron Rodgers gets right there at the top of that list. I mean, you've got five quarterbacks that have multiple Super Bowl MVPs, and Brady and Montana being two of them.
Yep.
I think that's the kind of rare air that you would put Aaron Rodgers in. I mean, he would be with Brady, with Montana, with Peyton Manning. I think he would be the fourth name on that list, with all respect to John Elway, because that's just how gifted Aaron Rodgers has been throughout his career.
And it would end forever the Rodgers-Favre debate, which I know for a lot of us, we think Rodgers has ascended past him. The NFL 100 list just came out. Brett Favre's name was on it. Aaron Rodgers' name was not. So for some people, maybe an older generation, I know you played with both of them, and it's nothing against Brett Favre. To me, it would, I already think Aaron's better and has had a better career, but Favre did get to two. You know what I mean? He won one, lost one, and it would put a pin in that debate for all time. But the other element of this is, for Rodgers, the level of playoff heartbreak he has suffered, I think is underrated. I think, some of this I know is very touchy for you.
Ooh, that onside kick in 2014.
Well, he's lost seven playoff games. He's played 11 years in this league. 1 year they didn't lose a playoff game because they won it all. 3 years they missed the playoffs. His first season as a starter, and then the last 2 years. So those other 7 years, how did they end? Three times you get blown out. The 15-1 year, you got blown out. The Colin Kaepernick running all over Lambeau Field year, you get blown out. And the conference championship game in 2016 when they went down to Atlanta and just could not get off the field, you get blown out. But those other four losses, three are overtime.
Yes.
Three playoff overtime losses. First playoff game in his career, all you guys on the offense did is score 45 points. That's just good enough to get you beat 51-45 in overtime. They lose to Cap again, this time on a field goal as time expires. Then you lose the onside kick game in overtime to Seattle. Then you're playing Arizona in a game where Rodgers has two Hail Marys to force overtime, and then Larry Fitzgerald goes 75 yards down to the goal line. Then they pitch to him. Three overtime playoff losses, four losses on the final play of the game, and three of those came in succession. 13, 14, 15. You had three straight years. Your season ended in walk-off fashion. That level of heartbreak, I can't speak to it. You guys both, unfortunately, while both being champions, can speak to what it actually feels like. For Rodgers, I'm sure he feels like, man, I should have been had my second championship already, if this, if that. I should have gone head-to-head with Brady, back when Brady, by the way, only had three, had lost two in a row. That Seattle Super Bowl should have been our appearance, and the whole narrative of everyone's different. But it didn't happen, and this is his best opportunity in a very long
time. It is his best opportunity, and being real, and I think Aaron is starting to get to the point where he's being realistic. He's no longer in the twilight of his prime. Mm-hmm. He understands the importance of, shoot, how much longer do I have, let alone how much longer is my abilities going to put us in the situation where we have this opportunity afforded to us. And so with that all being said, it is paramount that they take advantage of this opportunity that's right in front of them.
Yeah, the Green Bay Packers the last 25 years have experienced a level of privilege at the quarterback position that not too many franchises have. It almost feels criminal that Aaron Rodgers has only played in one Super Bowl.
Yes.
Time now for a brand new segment. We just invented it in the last segment. It's called Over Under.
We are the first sports television show to ever do a segment like this.
We are?
No.
We're just going to put it out there.
It's been done by all of them, but it's fun.
It sounds good, I love it.
You know what? It's new to me.
There you go. That's all that matters.
Lamar Jackson broke the single-season quarterback rushing record this season. Lamar will look to continue that success on the ground against the Titans, is how they call themselves. Canny, will Lamar rush for over or under 100 yards Saturday?
Jenna, I'm going to go with over just because Mark Ingram is a little banged up. He had the calf injury at the end of the regular season. I don't know how much volume he's going to get in the rushing attack, but I do know that Lamar Jackson is the head of the snake when it comes to the Ravens and their ground and pound style. So I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson. Maybe he pulls the ball and keeps it a little more often than we've seen him do in the regular season because it's the playoffs, win or go home.
I'm going to go under simply because I think Mike Vrabel and that defense and those guys understand the importance of eliminating the big plays from Lamar Jackson, allowing everyone else to do what they do. If they beat you, so be it, but you can't let it be because of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I'm also going to go under. Lamar has been unbelievable this year, passing and rushing the football. He averaged 75 yards per game on the ground, which is crazy. I think he was sixth in the league in rushing. He had a 1,200-yard rushing season. I expect to have right around that total, around 75 yards, 100-yard rushing game in a playoff game by a quarterback. We've seen Cap do it. We saw Vic do it. Not a lot of instances of it. So I say under for Lamar.
I get how it works now. Now I understand the over and the under. On to Texans and Chiefs.
It is a complex, you know.
It's a little tricky.
Yeah.
We have very smart producers. They came up with this. The game is projected to be high scoring and fast paced, so Patrick Mahomes' arms should be showcased heavily. Chris Canny, will Mahomes pass for over or under 3.5 touchdowns on Sunday?
I'm going over, Jenna. I think that Pat Mahomes is going to light up that Texans secondary. Ooh. That Texans defense is suspect. Now, I know they got the emotional boost in getting J.J. Watt back last week, and him and Whitney Merciless made huge plays in the second half of that game, but I don't think they're going to see Pat Mahomes out there this week, especially with the revenge factor and them losing to the Texans in week 6. This is going to be a different Chiefs offense because Sammy Watkins will be back on the field. I think Pat Mahomes takes full advantage of having the full complement of his weapons.
I say under for every reason you just said, because as an offense that is electric and that can put up a lot of points, sometimes you watch that film and you see that opposing defense and you're like, ooh, it's going to be a day-to-day. And then you get out there and it just doesn't quite work out the way you thought. I think they'll put up a lot of points. 3.5, nah, I'm going under.
The only thing that'll stop Patrick Mahomes from throwing at least 4 touchdown passes in this game is if he doesn't have to play the fourth quarter.
Andy Reid, they put him on the bench or something.
No. Listen, of all the teams that made the playoffs, both conferences, the Chiefs, if they could have picked one to play, they would have picked the Houston Texans. More so than the Buffalo Bills, certainly more so than Tennessee, more so than any of the teams in the NFC. The Texans secondary is a disaster. That is the one unit on your team you cannot have be a disaster against a healthy, finally, Patrick Mahomes and Chiefs offense. Got their offensive lineman back they didn't have when they played him in week 6. No. Patty has an enormous game on Sunday morning. was trying to think when it was. Sorry about that.
All right, Seahawks wide receiver DK Metcalf was Seattle's hero last weekend. The wideout finished with a rookie playoff record 160 receiving yards on 7 catches to go along with a touchdown. So, Canny, will Metcalf finish with over or under 100 receiving yards against the Pack?
I'm going over, Jenna, and I know I've gone over on all of these, but I'm going over just because the Seahawks, they were a run-centric offense in the regular season, but because their running backs are all banged up, they've been forced to drop back and throw the ball. I know you say that plays into their strengths, but Russell Wilson, 40 dropbacks last week, and DK Metcalf had a huge game. I look to see the same formula employed by the Seahawks in terms of their game plan and trying to move the ball against that Packers defense. DK Metcalf's going to be a huge part of that.
I'm with you. I go over as well for every reason you just said. I think this is how they have to win. With their running backs getting injured, I get it. You got beast mode, but he's not going to give you that type of production that Carson and Penny was giving you. They have to win in the air on Russell Wilson's arm, and DK Metcalf's going to be a huge part of that.
I'm going over as well for maybe slightly different reasons, because I don't think Seattle's going to win, but I do think Russell Wilson's going to play better than he has historically played at Lambeau Field. I also think that they saw their best chance to move the football down the field is DK Metcalf running 9 routes.
Just go straight.
And good luck Packers defense in slowing him down. So I am also going over.
Even if the weather's bad, all of you taking the over.
Actually think that the snow can help the passing attack if your quarterback's got a strong enough arm, because defenders can't change direction.
Exactly.
The wind and the rain be bad for a passing attack.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.